patience for imagining the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll believe it when he calls his bride away. Yes, going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away.
Listen for the trumpet to sound most any time.
Amen.
And the crown of life that's awaiting, thank God, will soon be mine. I've got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, this trip's been paid for me.
Well, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky.
I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day,
but I know that I'll be leaving
when he calls his bride away.
Going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye.
I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky.
Well, I may not know the moment,
I may not know the day,
but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away.
The captain of the vessel, he's calling, get on board.
Yes,
and the destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore, where we'll meet again the Savior and our loved ones who've gone on. There to live for all eternity.
Oh yes, we're going home. I'm going
home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye.
I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky.
I may not know the moment, I may not know the day,
but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away.
The captain of this vessel,
think about it, church,
is calling it on board. And our destination's heaven.
It's heaven.
Safe on that crystal shore.
Praise the Lord.
Where we'll meet again the Savior.
Praise the Lord.
And our loved ones who've gone on. We're gonna live through all eternity.
Hallelujah.
We're going
home. Aren't you glad about it tonight? I'm going home with Jesus
in the twinkling of an eye.
I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving
when he calls his bride away. I'm going home with Jesus.
Oh, yes, we
in
are.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Hallelujah.
I've made my preparation.
Whoa,
for a mansion in the sky.
Sky.
I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Aren't you glad you've got better plans than what's waiting on this? A lot of people in this world. A lot of folks in this world has no plans. I'm glad we have got plans. God has planned a great, great honeymoon for his bride. And to live with him forever in eternity. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Do you appreciate what he's done for you? Is he the best thing that ever got a hold of you? Give him one more hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. Amen. You better sing that second verse one more time. I want you to sing it good this time for me, if you will.
the captain of the vessel. He's calling, get on board. And the destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore, where we'll meet again the Savior. And our loved ones who've gone on, there will live for all eternity. Oh yes, I'm going home,
going home with Jesus.
In the twinkling of an eye,
I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky.
I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day,
but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His bride away.
Praise the Lord. That's our hope. That's our faith tonight. We are children of the Most High King. Brother West, God bless you. You've done a wonderful job here Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. It's something, so many good things you said, but something that just really stuck in my mind is when you said, I know I am a child of God. I don't doubt. I know I'm a child of God. I'm one of His elect. How about you? If you wasn't, where would you be tonight? You would have no desire to be in the house of God. Where would you be? You'd be out in the world somewhere. You'd be in some denominational system somewhere. But because you are His bride, He has placed you in the Word for the hour. Are you glad about it tonight? Give Him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have church here tonight. I hope you come to have it. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Wesley Greeley from down in Alabama. I believe he's here in the service with us tonight. Brother Greeley, his father's a pastor over in where is that, Short Gap, Virginia, that area over there. So we're glad to have him with us in the service. Going to ask him if he would to pray over these prayer requests tonight, just in a minute when we get through. Brother Burt says he wants us to remember Sister Bethany Thompson in prayer, battling flu symptoms. Also remember Brother Eddie Jablonski's father, Eddie. He sure appreciates prayer from the saints here. He faces a major battle in his health, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. The Lord would be mindful. Sister Sandy Arwood says to please pray for my sister in Ohio. Breast cancer has come back. Her name is Nellie Adams, so we certainly want to remember that need tonight. We want to pray for a friend, a Brother Calvin Ward. His name is Don Shipley, and he's having open heart surgery. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Sister Jane Terrell, has some back problems. Let's just commit her to the Lord. Brother Eugene Kennedy is in Health South Rehab Hospital in Kingsport. They're asking that we would remember him tonight in prayer as we pray. So let's do that. We've got just so many announcements and other things here. Sister Barron wants us to remember her son Bruce in prayer, who left for a week in Argentina for work. Asking for a job change as soon as possible. So let's pray that the Lord will work out all the details on that situation. Also, want you to remember again, I think we turned in a prayer request Wednesday night for Sister Vicki Tidwell, starting her chemotherapy, I think maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday, and some complications. They had to just shut it down and send her back home. And I believe she was able to start maybe the next day. Haven't heard the full details, but let's pray for that situation. A lot of sickness, a lot of things going on. We're serving a great captain tonight. A great healer is among us. You believe that with all your heart. Bad things are going to happen. Sickness is going to happen, but I'm glad that this is not my final hope. This place here is just getting me ready forever. How about you? Are you getting ready forever? Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, Brother Greeley, would you come tonight? Pray over these needs. We'll just commit them unto the Lord. Certainly glad to have our brother with us in the service tonight, aren't we? God bless our brother tonight. God bless you, brother. Good to see you. God bless you.
Will you pray with me tonight? Our Father, we approach Your throne with thankfulness for Your great love that You have given to us, that we could even call on Your name. We want to thank You, Lord, that You called us and You chose us from before the foundation of the world, that we could be holy and without blame before You in love. I want to thank You that we can come before You with our needs. You have told us in your word to ask. And so we come tonight asking with faith, Lord, knowing that you have already heard these requests. We don't have to name them one by one again. You already heard them. And so I lift them to you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Lord, that you would meet every one of these needs. Lord, I'm asking you that you would send your angels by the way for each of these needs to deliver healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Bind the powers of hell that are trying to destroy people. I pray, oh God, that you would lift people up, strengthen them, encourage them in their time of need. I'm asking you, oh Lord, that you will have your perfect and wonderful way in this meeting tonight. We want you to get all glory. I pray, oh Lord, that your angels would be in their assigned positions now. I ask you, oh Lord, that your name would be glorified in every song. I ask you that the word of God would be able to go forth without any interference and that it would hit its mark tonight in the way that you desire for it to. Lord, when it's all said and done, we will give you the praise and all the honor and all the glory, for you deserve it and we want to give it to you. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us in this service tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service, we pray that it would be a great blessing to those folks as well tonight. Let me make just a couple of announcements for you tonight. Don't forget, when we go home tonight, to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. Spring forward, so you set it ahead 1 hour. So remember that. Registration is now open for the youth banquet on May the 1st. You may pick up your forms over in the library, so remember that tonight. Also, there will be a trustee meeting after service in the men's nursery, so remember that. And I believe that takes care of all of our announcements. I know that there will be I will announce this tonight, and again in the morning, there will be a memorial service tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock for Sister Susan Olive. You're all invited to be here at 4 o'clock for that service, and let's just remember that. And I believe Brother Rocky has more details, but I believe Sister Gail Clark's service is going to be on Monday evening. I'll let you know more about that, Brother Donnie, perhaps, or either in the morning, we'll know for certain. But I believe that's the way it's scheduled right now. Her service will be Monday evening, Sister Susan's tomorrow evening. Well, we had two more leave us, and I wonder what they've had to talk about since they've been together. It's probably been heavenly, don't you think? Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? I want to go too, don't you? I want to stay here till he's done with me. And when he's done with me, I want to skedaddle. How about you? You ready to leave this old world? Are we looking for a better place tonight? I'd rather have Jesus than 10,000 worlds and all that they can hold. Sing it tonight. Let's worship the Lord as we sing this song.
Silver gold, I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led.
I want you to worship while you sing this, church. I'd rather be
faithful to His dear call. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame.
Hallelujah.
I'd rather be true to His holy name than be the King of a vast domain. For Beel is His way.
I'd rather have Jesus than anything.
Oh, this old world of wars today. Sing that second verse again, church.
I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to this message and His dear cause. I'd rather have my Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather
actually more songs tonight than we're going to be able to get to. I'm going to get to them in the order that I received them. But before we have those, Sister Brenda, if you'd come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Sister Alicia Babb, if you'd come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing after she sings. Let's sing a little chorus just before our singers come tonight. Let's sing "For He is Holy" just before our sisters come to give us a song tonight. Do you believe He's holy tonight? I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be identified with the truth of this hour and stand true to the truth of this hour than to have anything in this whole world that you can lay at my feet. God, give us the integrity as men and women, as young men and young women, give us the integrity to hold this message dear to our hearts, to be faithful to the cause of Christ. Church, what He's done for us, you can't put a price on what He's done for us. He has given us the very best that was to give. He gave it to us. We're not all of it, but aren't you glad you're part of it? For He is. I want you to sing about it. Our Lord. the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Give our singers a hand as they get ready to sing for us tonight.
You said know you love me. You made a way for me. Believe you're forgiven for all that you've done. You carry it with you wherever you go. It's hard to go on. You bear that load. You need to let go.
Got it all.
put my life in His hand. So every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life in His hand. He's got it all. Got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul.
In my soul, He's got it all in control. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't we glad we believe tonight? That no matter what the devil does, no matter what politics does, no matter what people do, our God still reigns.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon tonight, if you would. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12 through verses 16. We'll speak tonight on the spice of charity. The spice of charity. I trust every one of your lives is just oozing with it. Well, maybe at least dripping with it. Faint traces. Maybe in the future. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates. With pleasant fruits, camphor, with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. I'm going to tell you one thing. There is nothing in this world that you will ever achieve that will be greater than the fulfillment of this verse right here. You can be the richest person in the world, the most beautiful woman, the most handsome man, the richest, most famous, on and on and on and on and on. And in time, you'll never even be remembered. Can any of you tell me the top 5 billionaires in the world? What about the top 10 millionaires? Can you tell me the top 10 people who own the most acreage in the world? What about in America? What about in Tennessee? Can you tell me the 5 richest people that ever live in Tennessee? You don't even care, do you?
No.
I don't either. Not even half of it. I can't tell you none of those things either. You know why? It don't interest me. That's not my life. But this is. This is. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, to us, church, it's not a ritual. It's not a routine. It's our life, Lord.
Amen.
Hearing your word, to us it's divine communication from the Almighty, speaking to us those precious things that we need in our lives. For we believe it was you who brought us on this earth. We believe it was you who brought us to life and light. We believe it is you who will help us to complete our journey. Father, we do not believe we've been placed here on the earth to just barely struggle along and barely be a Christian. But Lord, we want to be such an effective child of God. Speak to us tonight, Lord, from your word, I pray. May we be benefited as we've come together tonight, Lord, to sing and to pray and now to approach the word. May things of eternal value and things of eternal quality be said in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Paul wants to personify charity, love, agape, it's called. To be able to show its superior acts. Paul, in defining love here, charity, agape, whichever you desire to call it, he chooses not adjectives. Paul chooses 15 verbs in describing charity. He does not use an adjective which would describe or embellish a noun, but he chooses 15 verbs. What shows us real love is action.
Amen.
It's not just what you say, but it's real action. This love is not an inner emotion. It is not a feeling, though feeling comes with it. It is not a mental workup, and get it totally out of your mind that it's something that the kind old priest had. The kind old priest never had 1 ounce of charity. Let me just make it a little more plain and bold. Neither does anybody that don't have the Holy Ghost. Because charity is not one of these things. It's all of these things. So charity is not, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, buddy, I love you, buddy. That's not charity. Charity, it can only come by a new birth. It is a divine intervention of what God has to do from another dimension. So charity is a divine intervention from another dimension. It is something that totally transforms a mortal from what they could not be to what they miraculously are. And it's not supposing, hoping, thinking, perhaps, one day, maybe. It is a reality. Now, is it something that they learn how to submit to? It is. Is it something they grow in? It is. I was thinking of myself today and just looking back at my own life and my own growth inside the message and realizing how much that I've grown and matured. And I was thinking, you know, it's wonderful to see that I've grown in knowledge of the Word, to see that I've grown in understanding of the Word. But as I was studying on charity, I began to realize the outflow of charity in my life had grown because of the effects of these verbs in my life. That it was not just how much I could quote, how much I could retain, how much I could remember, more doctrinal issues I've been able to understand, but actually to see the love of God in my heart, helping me to deal with those that don't love me, helping me to have the right attitude toward those that would absolutely laugh if they found out there's something terrible wrong with me. I realized I have really grown in the Lord. I was so happy. I was so happy as a child of God to realize measuring my growth, not just by what I know, but measuring my growth by the mark of charity. Well, praise the Lord. Now, charity is unlike other loves. I know there's many, many kinds of love. But charity is unlike other kinds of love that you and I may have in our heart and our emotion and our human being. Other kinds of love that we might have. We might have a love or a great admiration for an individual. And we'd be able to love them so deeply for years in our life and yet never express that love to that individual. There may be people that would have such a deep feeling in our heart for them, but yet would never verbally be able to really express how we feel. Now, there are loves that you can do that, but with charity, that is totally impossible. It is impossible for you to be so endued with charity, the love of God, that you could never express it. It is the type and the measure of love that if you have it, it will express itself. And it will not choose one of these verbs or two of these verbs. It will actually, in its full affluence of your life, it will manifest itself in all 15 verbs and they will grow and mature until you are the very epitome of a walking charity. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to notice, I found this in studying this on history, that to demonstrate love, to provide the proofs that would be required, it was necessary to translate the word as agape, which is demonstration of love. So the word agape is demonstration of love. Now it is so far apart from selfishness, pride, arrogance, what the human being would accomplish on their own, that charity is the very opposite of selfishness. And charity is the very opposite of being a braggart or someone who brags upon themselves and being puffed up. It's the exact opposite of what that does. Everything that charity is will be the opposite to what the flesh does. Everything the flesh does will be the exact opposite of what charity does. So in other words, your new birth is the exact opposite of everything you are by your first birth. So if everything that your love, so-called, agrees with your flesh, you know right off, you're not operating in the love of God. You're operating in a degree of love that is less than charity. And the saint said, now let's read 1 Corinthians 13, 1. Now I want you to be attentive, but I do appreciate your amens. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not agape. Now listen to this, how powerful that a person can be in the realm of supernatural. That they could speak with tongues of men and of angels. And I'll just quickly back over and brief what we looked at before. If they have the ability by supernatural to speak in every known and unknown language around the world. And then they would break from those known and unknown languages and break into angelic tongues. And it was absolutely spirit given. If they did not have charity, then Paul said, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Now let's say they are a message preacher and they can preach beyond every preacher in the message. They understand election, predestination, foreknowledge, grace, mercy, forgiveness, serpent seed, heaven, hell, paradise, fallen angels, risen angels. They understand all of that. And they can preach and they can even prophesy and foretell future events. Yet if their life is not led by charity, come on church, don't get quiet. If their life is not led by charity, and Paul said, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. But it's amazing to me that folks in the message depend on how they lean humanly. They will side up with a preacher or a ministry that will have one of these. Most preachers don't have all of them. But they will go, if they lean toward the Pentecostal part, then if they have gifts and supernatural, even though the man may be proud, he may be a braggart, he may be boastful, this, that, the other, they will make excuse for all of that because he can prophesy and call people out. Or if they lean toward the knowledge part and the deep part and the mysterious part, the man may be a braggart again and think he's gifted above everybody else, and they'll still make excuse for it. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I don't care if that man knows more than all the angels put together. If he don't have charity, he is nothing. I don't care how deep he is. I don't care how many people stream his service. He has absolutely nothing yet to brag about if he don't have charity. Praise the Lord. Well, I figure I'll make some folks mad with this, but truth generally does. Paul says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now listen, friend, keep in mind, now this is not the kind old priest love. This is not doing good things for people and doing them at your advantage or when you want to do them or when it's easy for you. This is a different category of love altogether. And may I say, there will only be a very small handful of human beings that have ever lived on the face of the earth that will ever experience this. There will be millions times millions of people that will experience the first degree or the first entrance into the love of God by salvation. There will be millions more that will enter into the deeper degree of the love of God by sanctification. There will be many more that will enter into a deeper degree of the love of God by gifts and healings and supernatural and so on. There will be many more that will enter into an understanding of what God is, about his deity, personification of humanity, and many of the other things things that he does, but there will be a very small tithing of the earth that ever walks into this. I just trust and hope and pray by God's grace we are part of that group. Mama, charity suffereth long. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Praise the Lord. Now would you notice we want to break these down. I know you was hoping I'd kind of hurry through them, but I don't think we ought to do that. Notice now the words that Paul is using. Now remember, he's using verbs. Charity suffereth, which is a verb, not an adjective. So charity is not easily described by words in so much as it is lived out by a hidden life. So it is a verb in action, and it's not your own action actually, but it's the life of Christ living in you. So he tells us then what a person could do without charity and what they would become, and then he begins to define charity so we would know absolutely without a shadow of a doubt whether or not we have it. Now remember, charity is not one of these things that you're able to pick and say, well, I've got that. I don't have these 13, but I've got that, so that means that I've got it. No, he wants us to see the attributes and the display of what charity really does. And the multi-aspect by which it covers every avenue of our life. And when you look at actually what charity does inside of you, it is the reverse of what the love of God has already done in your heart if you're truly born again. And we'll look at that a little bit later. Now what he says about charity, what it does. Charity suffereth long. So now he wants to display to us the very nature of this divine love. So charity has long suffering. In other words, charity has the ability to put up with wrongdoing. Now human beings, as we go, according to our temperament and our nature and the strain we have from our parents, the sorrow we're born under and all that, many of us can have an ability of this, which is nature given. But nature given, human nature given, long suffering has its end. It will run up to a certain spot and then it can't take it no more, and then it's going to give you a piece of their mind. But charity, actually from the love of God, it does not have an end to it. Because it is eternal. So he's telling us now that charity suffereth long. So it is patient towards all men. Not just your wife, not just your children, your grandchildren, but charity is patient to an unbeliever. Charity is patient to your greatest enemy. Oh my. Charity is able to suffer with people's weaknesses, their shortcomings, their unbelief. And you know how it does it? Charity suffereth long. Now, I'm talking about 15 minutes. I'm talking about more than 15 years. This is the attribute of God. Now remember, how long has God been waiting on you? How many years has God been waiting on you all to come to maturity? Anybody here tonight there? What has put up with you? God's love. What has put up with me? God's love. Right? So charity suffereth long. What's it do? Feeds our enemy when our enemy is hungry. It would give our enemy drink if our enemy was thirsty. It would pray for those that would despitefully use us. It will continue on. And it's like it never stops. Now come on, Peter. Get that seven times thing out of your mind. In the face of extreme provocation, a man who's living under the spice of charity can turn his cheek over and over and over and over again. Now, let me make sure you understand this point. A person truly born again, capped off with divine nature, has this in them by new birth. But can they absolutely break over these attributes and lose their temper? Can they break over these attributes and say something they shouldn't say? They most certainly can. But will they stay there? If they have the Holy Ghost, they will not stay there. If any of y'all ever been that way to where somebody do something to you and you just say a little something back and go to take it into your own hands and something was in you, smites you like that. You know what I'm talking about? Now, if that is in you, it will begin to correct you. If you think you have it, you will be able to move over into the realm of envy, jealousy, strife, hatred, whatever. You can be there for weeks or months or years on end. You can forget having charity if you can live in this kind of attitude for months and years. You can't be born again. Totally impossible. Oh my, praise the Lord. Charity will put up with being slighted. Charity will put up with being neglected. Charity will put up with being constantly overlooked. You say, Brother Donnie, this sounds almost mystical. It is. Praise the Lord, I have succeeded in preaching to you a portion of the mystic kingdom. Amen. You say this blows me away. Wonderful. This means I cannot reach it. Amen. That means you can't reach it, Brother Donnie. Amen. It means there's only one way this can be attained to, divine nature. Oh, I know some of you will probably wait till down around the 14th verb and you'll get down and say, whew, I've got them all. Well, not me. Not me. The first or second one, I unloaded then. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I need more, friends. I don't know what you need. I need more. Now notice, charity suffereth long. Now after charity suffers long, and charity is in this individual's soul. And you see, the person themselves cannot do this. But charity within them. What is this, Brother Jim? It is an unseen force. And as we yield to that force, that power, it controls us from within. But if our fellowship isn't right, our communion isn't right, even though that is there, it will not control us because our flesh will get in the way. I'm talking about an individual who's so submitted to the indwelling presence on the throne of their heart, they are a walking deity on the earth. Now Paul says, charity suffereth long. And is kind. So after charity is tried, and charity is made fun of, ridiculed, laughed at, then charity don't get in a big grouchy spell. It's totally, completely impossible for charity to be a grouch bag. Friends, don't you understand? This is not in charity to be grouchy. It's not in charity to be unkind. It is not in charity to be short-tempered. This is the perfect way after the gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul told them, I will show you a more excellent way. This is it. Now, the more gifted that people are, the more they need this in their lives. Right. Charity is kind, which is tender, compassionate, mild, gentle, able to suffer with the most amiable sweetness. It's submissive to all the dispensations of God and creates trouble for no one. Except, of course, the devil. Even charity don't love him. Now, the word kind that is used here is a word that denotes good nature, gentle, tender, and affectionate. And you think that Paul placed this here just out of random? No, he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So he places this attribute of charity being kind. Charity is kind after what? Charity suffers long. So it is the reverse of being hasty and mean. Whew. Hatred prompts harshness. Charity prompts kindness. Hatred and envy prompts mama running off at the mouth. Say it now and think later. But charity prompts obedience to the word. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Charity is kind. Now, how many of you Christians have ever been unkind? I get my other leg up, but you understand why I can't. How many's been unkind? Why? Why have you been unkind? It's not the nature of your ghost to be unkind. It's not the nature of your father to be unkind. But because that ghost is still living in this, we will give a hold to this and give it preeminence for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, and then we will be unkind and say our peace. And then the kindness within our soul will smite the unkindness in our flesh, and we feel like a dog. But thank God you do. Thank God you feel bad. Now, kindness, what kindness does is kindness has the ability to recognize the load or the difficulty or the misunderstanding or the misgiving or the mistranslation of your motive and your objective. Kindness is able to look at that and try to understand where that person is coming from. Instead of just feeling like you're so special and so great and so wonderful that everybody is out to get you, because you're the only one on the earth that is so rare. I'll agree, I've not run into such stupidity as that in a while, but I'm not sure that rarity is anything to compliment. Praise the Lord. Kindness responds from a tender heart. Now kindness, these things, friends, are not an action that you put on. It is actually a virtue of your new birth born from your soul. Oh my, listen to this, let me read this with you, I want to put up on the board. The kindness of Christians in the second century so surprised their pagan counterparts that according to Tertullian, which was a historian, Roman historian, they called Christians Christiana. C-H-R-E-S-T-I-A-N-A. Now the meaning of Christiana is made up of mildness or kindness rather than Christiana. So the Roman pagans called our brothers and sisters the Alpha Bride. They called them Christiana instead of Christiana. To them, Christiana was more than just a term. Christianity today, what is it? It's a term. It's just a term that a lot of folks bear. Oh, may God allow our enemies to call us Christiana. Not just Christians. Not just Christianity from the mouth. But may our lives all be so saturated with the power of God. May the north wind blow upon our spices. Let me read this again. According to Tertullian, they call Christians Christiana. Listen to what this means. Made up. Made up. Now notice, made up. Not just a word. Not put on. Not taught. Not learned. But they were made up. God making the devil testify to what his children really were. They were made up. This is what, hallelujah. This is what they were. They were made up of mildness or kindness. Ephesians 4:32, Paul says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, and on this basis alone, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why am I forgiven tonight? Why are you? Why did God forgive me? Oh, I asked for it. Not on that alone. I could have asked till the moon turned into cheese. But if there hadn't been a Christ between me and God, God still wouldn't have forgiven me. So God forgave me for Christ's sake. And I'm to forgive others on the same basis. I'm waiting till they ask me, not me. I'm going to forgive them before they ever ask. I'm going to pray for their ignorance. I'm going to pray for their blindness. Oh my. You understand what I'm saying, children? You don't understand forgiveness right until you look at it this way. 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Look at this word, envious. Zealously affect, to be heated or to boil with envy, hatred, anger. To be the object of the zeal of others. To envy. The Bible is full of illustrations of jealousy and envy. Cain was jealous of Abel. Because God accepted his sacrifice. And he killed him. Is that right? Amen. Joseph's brothers were jealous or envious of him. Because God dealt with him more than he did with them. Amen. And of course they sold him. The high priests were jealous of Jesus. The priests and the scribes were jealous of Paul and Barnabas. On and on and on and on we could go. You see, charity cannot be envious. Charity cannot be jealous in the sense of human jealousy. Now there is a divine jealousy, but I ain't talking about that. But charity does not have the ability to look at a man that is more wealthy than you, or more gifted than you, or has more money or whatever more. Charity from within your soul cannot look at that individual and feel a hard feeling toward him or her. I think we need more charity. And the saints said, amen. You see, charity is the divine attribute of the divine God. Of course, jealousy does not come from God like this. Charity envieth not. It is not grieved whenever it sees another one possess more than them. Now let's move beyond Cadillacs and Lincolns and Volkswagens. Let's move down to spiritual understanding. What if somebody is more gifted than you to understand things and they really see it and they try to tell you and you can't see it? You're walking all you know, but you can't see it? Are you going to be jealous of them? Uh-oh, we're getting quiet again. Brother Brad, is this microphone working? It sounds like it's just coming and going or something maybe. Or maybe it's y'all coming and going. Y'all better make up your mind whether you're coming or you're going. You better come in here and sit down and get this so we can go. That's the coming and going I'm interested in. You see, those who have this type of love actually can rejoice when one of their brothers and sisters is raised above them. Now, it's not like they're acting like they like it. They really do. It can be, you know, a convention where preachers or four or five preachers are preaching together. And maybe God will cap off that entire service in the third service and say there's five or six. And God will use this particular man, whoever he would be, and the whole meeting will reach the crescendo in the third service. And then the other services are just sort of so-so. It'll take the Spirit of God and the love of God in them preachers' hearts to keep from having an attitude toward that man. Now don't you sit and look at me and act like you don't think preachers go through that same thing. They do. Why? Because it's in our flesh. Our flesh, in case you don't know it, ain't saved. It can be that way with deacons. It can be that way with trustees. It can be that way with musicians. It can be that way with singers. If you folks like one song better than the other and you clap a little bit longer or 13 seconds longer than you did for this brother, a lot of singers have a problem with it. A lot of musicians having problems saying, you know, playing second piano or second guitar or second bass. If they're not first, they're not going to be nothing. That's not charity. Oh, praise the Lord. I should have made that amen tape this evening. Charity, really, a person, say a musician that is going to a church and in the roster, they are number 32. It's Brother Larry and Sister So-and-so. And they're way on down here at the bottom. If their heart is full of the love of God, whenever their time comes around to play the piano, they ain't going to sit there in service and pout. Because number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight, on down. They can't. Oh, it makes me so mad. You ain't got the Holy Ghost. That's the problem. Real charity would so rejoice that we're so gifted and we're so blessed to have musicians in our church. Now, was that hand clap real? You see, friend, this is why it takes this to do it. Because humanly, we're not made this way. We are not made. We are made. Siblings will do it. Little children will do it. It's in our rotten, stinking flesh. It takes this endowment of the new birth to enable us, and we can really do it. We're not acting. We're not putting on, and we're not smoking marijuana. I mean, it's real. This is really real that we're able to look at a brother that can outplay us on the guitar or the piano or the organ or whatever it is, or a preacher that outpreach us, and we think, Lord, have mercy. I am so blessed to be able to hear this man. I am so blessed to be number 32 after this guy. But a Christian, a message believer, a Malachi 4 follower, who doesn't have this, they'll carry it in their heart. They'll listen for every mistake that Brother Larry makes. And he makes them. I heard one tonight before church started. Hey, he's going to make them. Every musician we got's going to make them. Just like every preacher that preaches is going to make them. But somebody that has charity will cringe on that mistake. Somebody that don't say, I heard that now. I was supposed to have been a major and he went to a minor. I guess he ain't so good after all. That's pitiful. That's way worse than his mistake. Because you see, then you've got envy. Then can you imagine a person then coming out and they get their 32nd time to play on the piano or guitar or organ, whatever it is, and they come up with that attitude? So then what are they going to add to the service? My. charity can look at another person that's more blessed than them, say, this person is constantly health. They got constant health. I mean, it's like they're drinking from the fountain of youth. They're 50-some years old. They don't take no vitamins. They don't take no Recaltrol. They don't take no vitamin D, A, B, C, Y, Z, O, M, O, T, O. They don't take no herbs. They don't take no green algae. They eat real taters. They eat real fats and real sugars. And as healthy as a horse. And you eat spinach potato chips. And you eat vegetarian hamburgers and vegetarian hot dogs. You watch your sodium. You watch your calcium. You watch your zinc, your iron citrates, and all the rest of them trait brothers. And you constantly have one sickness out of another, and this one just popping around happy. You think, I'd like to wipe that smile off of his face. Do you understand you can be envious of health? You can be envious of another person because their makeup is happy-go-lucky and they're just smiling all the time and just, and you know they're not on lower tabs because you've been around them and watched them. You'd be surprised how much envy, if God could pull it all out of our hearts today and pile it up here in a big pile, it'd probably scare us. You see, the human beings have picked a color for envy and jealousy. It's green. Green's a nice color on trees, on grass. But green in your heart is not good. But a man, a woman, a boy, a girl who's filled with charity and the wind is flowing, boy, somebody can pull up in a brand new Cadillac and say, devil. Money could have been given to a missionary. Or a sister comes into church with that dress that you looked on at the mall, which your husband wouldn't let you buy. You went to Walmart and bought yours. And somebody else walks in with that same dress, and you just looked at that price tag yesterday, and you know exactly what she paid for it. That dog, she gets everything. I wish my husband had a good education. I wish my husband made money. I wish my church wanted charity. I wish y'all hungered for it. I wish you all thirsted for it. I wish you all hungered for charity more than you did for money. I wish you wanted this more than you wanted anything else in the world. Charity envieth not. So charity does not envy position, does not envy possessions. Charity doesn't envy somebody else's health or their looks. And you ain't gonna tell me some of you ugly people ain't had that thought. I have, and I ain't near as ugly as some of you all are. Let me tell you. Friends, envy can so work its way in and out of our lives. I'm the envy of a lot of people. Not because I'm handsome. It's because my mama gave me a head of hair. Preachers look at me and slobber at the mouth. They don't want to preach like me. They just wish they had this rug. I know some of y'all used to think when I first came here, I wore a toupee. It's all mine. It's an amazing thing that a person so living under the influence from the throne of their heart, a part of you cannot envy. But yet this part right here can look, and for a moment it'll break out from underneath that throne room. And envy will grab a hold of it. Generally, envy will come And we'll fight it in the line of who we are. In other words, a farmer would tend to be more envious of a farmer than he would a senator. Man, I envy the president. I don't. Boy, I'd like to have his position. I wouldn't. Generally, envy will work in the course of life that you are called in. So it would be a farmer that would tend to be envious or jealous of another farmer. A farmer that lives in Gray, which tends to get more rain than we do in Carter County. I'm not sure if they pay a higher percentage of tithes out there, what it is. But they tend to get rain, more rain sometimes than what we do. So a farmer would tend to be, oh, you got a new John Deere tractor? Yeah, boy, the Lord's really blessed me. He said, you got a new one? No. He's still playing with his old grandpa's tractor. So will he have a problem with, you know, with the painter or a guy that had a rancher? Most likely not. So we generally will have a problem with and envious in our lives with those that we look at are compatible with us. A farmer to a farmer. A lawyer to a lawyer. A singer to a singer. A preacher to a preacher. Any of you sisters fought any heavy battles lately over the Queen of England? You sisters really going through a lot of trauma because of the Queen of Norway lately? Y'all didn't know they had one, did you? Any of you brothers fighting a major problem over the King of Norway? Yeah, they still got one. So where would your problem be? Someone that you relate to. So it could be like this. It could be someone in the church that you feel like I like more than I like you. And 9 times out of 10, it ain't nothing but a fabrication of your mind anyway.
Amen.
Dear Jesus. The Lord was giving me this while I was gone to Arizona. Would y'all rather I go back or? Oh my. Generally, a physician will envy another physician because he can relate to that avenue where he's at. But a doctor with the Holy Ghost will not envy another doctor if he outthinks him, makes more money than him, no matter what he does, because he's satisfied with where God has put him. You realize if our people would have been more sincere, Brother Branham prayed that God would help them to find the thing for cancer. I'm sure a lot of things, if it wasn't for money and a lot of private interest and all that, that no doubt there's all kinds of things they could take care of more than what they do now. But how many of your doctors would have the ability to admit, I don't know what's wrong with you, I'm going to send you to somebody that knows more than I do. It's going to take a real doctor that cares for you to say that. What's this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3? Paul says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Galatians 5:21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also tell you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Friend, we're not talking about something you can play with. Do you realize there will be not one person that will go in the rapture with envy embedded in their heart? You can have long hair, long dress, never listen to rock and roll, never smoke, never curse, never lie. And if you've got envy in your heart, that will keep you out of the rapture. It got the devil kicked out of heaven. Oh my. Galatians 5:26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. James 3:14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Can I go on? So charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Any of y'all know what the word vaunteth means? Okay, you're fixing to know. The word vaunteth means to boast oneself. A self-display. Employing rhetorical embellishments and extolling oneself excessively. A man, woman, boy, girl, preacher, deacon, trustee, songwriter, song leader, drummer, house sweeper, picker up garbage around the side of the parking lot, or whatever they are, if their life is under the control of charity, they do not vaunt themselves. Well, you're going to get quieter on me, I see. You see, the reason that people would vaunt themselves is because they feel like they have an element of superiority over other people in their same class or category. So they would look at themselves, now whether it's a preacher or a singer or whatever it is, they would look at themselves and think, well, poor little things. They're just not as gifted as I am. Of course, I realize there could only be one of me, thank God. One might be too much. And what it does, a person who feels superior to their contemporaries, most of the time will begin to treat their contemporaries with disregard and contempt. They will begin to look down on them. So a preacher, he feels like he's so deep. My, he knows more in the message than anybody else. Will he acknowledge the need of other preachers? More than likely not. As a matter of fact, he'll sign you up on his mailing list because he'll feel sorry for you thinking you're not getting fed at Donnie Reagan's church. Because he's so superior. Ah. I struck a chord, I see. Now let us see where this comes from, shall we? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Heliel? The English says Lucifer. Let's look at the meaning of this word. Heliel, light bearer, shining one. Morning star. This is why the Mormons believe Lucifer and Michael were brothers. Now, what's this? We want to see where this type of an attitude comes and why charity cannot have this in it at all. There is not a smidgen of this in charity. None. So just remember, when you and I are expressing any of these types of attributes, it is not the Holy Ghost. So quit trying to blame it on a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. A lot of folks ain't got the love of God in their hearts, so they always try to find quotes about the kind old priest. The kind old priest couldn't touch this. Neither can folks in the message without a new birth. So it's a good thing to type yourself by the kind old priest, I suppose. Now watch this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son! Son! Which is the Hebrew word, Ben. Ben. Jesus, Ben David. Son of David. So Lucifer was the son of the morning. And the word son also denotes possession or something belonging to one. Now what's amazing is this same word is used to describe the Lord Jesus in Revelation 21:16. I am the bright and the morning star. You see, the Assyrians worshiped the morning star as a male. And they worshiped the evening star as a female. So they were able to see the masculine and the feminine of the same star. Now here Isaiah, of course the Spirit of God is writing to the spirit of the devil inside the king of Babylon. And he identifies and he wants the devil to know he got his number. Yes, sir. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, light bearer, shining one, morning star, son of the morning.
How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, and I know I've preached on this a lot, I will, notice this arrogance and pride, I will ascend. Look at this Hebrew word, Allah. Mercy, goodness alive. Allah! Why did you all go dead silent on me? I will ascend, Allah! Go up, ascend, climb, excel, be superior to lift oneself. So what is the religion of Allah? To lift itself above El. El-El-Ah, Elohim. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Don't get quiet now. So Satan said in his heart, I will. Now notice this attitude among unconverted humanity. You notice it among our children, among our grandchildren, among folks that are not born again. I will ascend. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll be better than them. I'll get above them. I'll tell you one thing. I'll do this. Remember, that's not the Holy Ghost. I will ascend, oh my, into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Look at the word stars. Kobab of Messiah's brothers. How did he know? The Messiah had brothers. I will ascend. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. Don't you see what he wants? He don't want the bars to. He wants the church. And the word congregation is place of meeting, or the sacred place, or the tent of meeting. Glory to God. Make your brag, devil. You'll never get it. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the flank. The loins! You study the north side of the tabernacle and you study the north and see why he wanted it. This is him making his brag and his claim, and there wasn't even a New Testament church in existence yet. But somehow Brother Amos, he was able to break in and understand God had a plan and God had a program, and this is his idea. I want it. I will. If I want that church, I'll get that church. If I want to be the best singer, I'll do it. Don't you see where that spirit comes from? The devil. In the sides of the north. The stars as Messiah, brothers, youth, numerous progeny, personification, God's omniscience. Can you imagine a being being so bold that he would tell God, I'll get above your sons. I'll exalt my own throne. He didn't even have one. Amen. I'll exalt my throne above your boys. You hear me, God? I'll get your church. Go ahead and start your one. Go ahead and do whatever you want to with it. I'll wind up with it. Notice what he said in verse 14. I will. Notice all this. I will. No wonder when Jesus came, he said, not my will, but thy will. There's a great difference in I will and thy will. Oh, hallelujah! I will ascend in the word again, Allah. I will, Allah, above the heights of the clouds. I will be like
resemble, to be like, compare, to make oneself like. I will be like the Most High. But I love this next verse. It skins him alive. It humbles him. It tells the church his destiny. Don't fear him. He ain't nothing but a big old bag of wind. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your church down. Oh, no, you won't. You'll blow your brains out first. Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, what's God an answer to his boasting and vaunting and bragging? Sure. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Amen. He wanted the sides of the north, but God said, I'm getting the flank of the church. You're getting the flank of the pits. You want the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north? I'll tell you what you're going to get, devil. You're going to get the sides of the pit. And I hope you can understand this when I say it. He will burn the longest with the most severity of punishment. Because when I crossed that chasm and God burst me on the other side, it made me back a son or daughter of God, and it broke up my sins under the bleach of the blood of the Lord Jesus and sent them right back on the head of the devil. Every lie he ever talked me into doing, he'll answer for it. Every adultery he ever talked you into doing, he will answer for it. It went right back on the devil's head, not me. Because here I am on this side of the chasm as a son of God. God set free. Hallelujah. Not living, but I will, but not my will, but thine be done. Oh my, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Here's a fulfillment of his desire. He'll have it for a while. That sure is an awful lot of trouble for 3.5 years. You think you go through a lot. Can you imagine what this devil's been? Every time he comes here, I skin him alive. Every time he shows up, Brother Terry, Brother Wes, every preacher in here, preachers around the world, burn his hide, call him a liar to his face, call him a dog, call him a braggart, call him boastful. I mean, we call him everything in the world and humble him and tell him what his destiny is. Does it stop him? He shows up the next service. And you get so discouraged. His name ain't even on the book. And you get so discouraged, you're ready to quit. What's wrong with this story? If I talked to you and called you 1/100th of what I call him, most of you would never darken these doors again. I tell him he's a liar. I tell him he's going to hell. I tell him he's going to be annihilated. He might as well forget it. And he showed right back up on the first pew. Not disregarding any of you brothers now. He's the most faithful member of Happy Valley. And Brother Tim Pruitt's church, Brother Hilda Ranch church, every other Methodist church, he's the most faithful member there. Where did he get such a zeal? Where did he get such a drive? If him having that being a devil, what more ought we to have as being sons and daughters of God? Listen to me, children. It may be 100 million years. I know people think they believe in justice and they preach in eternal hell. Somebody please help me to get justice out of that. A 16-year-old boy goes out tonight, had his license for 3 or 4 months, goes out and gets drunk, runs his car off into a ditch, into a tree, instantly kills himself. And he's going to burn eternity for 16 years of life. And they say, we're unjust. But according to what they know and according to what they've done, their punishment will be regulated and the length of time will be regulated according to the justice of God. But the longest and the worst and the most severe of them all is the I will guy. And whether he just don't outright believe it, or he believes he can beat God, I don't understand him. Thank God I don't. I don't understand how he thinks about all this. I'll tell you one thing. If God called my name so many times there in the Bible, Donnie Reagan, Donnie Reagan, Donnie Reagan, whew, I'd be a humble dude when I come to church and say, Lord, I love you. You say, how can you love God? Your name's in the Bible. You're a devil. A lot of folks think I am. My name ain't even written there. Can you imagine if God had said, Jim Bad? In the last days there'll be a man by the name of Jim Bat. He'll be a deceiver. He'll be serpent seed. But of course your mom and daddy didn't know that when they named you. And they named you Jim Bat. Yeah. Uh-huh. Then later you come to God and you found your name. Oh my God. A real believer would look right at that and say, that ain't me. That couldn't be me. I couldn't feel in my heart about the Lord Jesus the way I do. And that'd be me. Not out of I will, but because he will. Children, if you've got a diseased plant, if an area in your garden has got black spot, an area of your garden has got root rot, don't torch the whole thing. Don't say, well, I might as well forget it. I've been living for God all these years. I know I've got all that. I might as well just forget it. Don't forget it. Treat that trouble area in your life and go on.
Amen.
Don't trash all the years of work that God has done for you.
Amen.
Don't trash the years of preaching and the years of molding and making that God has done for your life because you've got some disease spots in your life. Do you have spots, Brother Donnie? Absolutely. But one difference between me and a lot of other folks is I'm going to be honest and say, God, I need help.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There's such pride around this message. We don't want folks to know we're humans. What do you want us to think you are? Asteroids from another planet?
Right.
You're like all the rest of us. You're human.
Right.
You've got faults and failures and mistakes.
Amen.
I mean, it needs more charity. Forgiveness, kindness. Hallelujah. Does that mean you don't have it tonight? Absolutely not, it don't mean it. But maybe that little spot in your life is diseased. Maybe the Holy Ghost needs to just saturate your soul. Just saturate you. Can't you see if Satan cannot stop a preacher from the channel of revelation? You'd not believe what I have to go through to bring these things I bring to you and these other preachers. If Satan could, he'd stop the channel first here. If he can stop it here, it affects hundreds and hundreds of lives. But if he can't stop it here, I keep my life in harmony with God. I pray. I do what I'm supposed to do, which keeps an open channel between me and God. And if he can't stop it here, he'll try to stop your absorption of what's being preached. Maybe not necessarily going out and getting drunk and going out and getting high on dope. Just normal things of life. Just average, everyday thing. This went wrong and that went wrong before you come to church. And if it didn't happen before church, it'll happen after church. Why? To stop your absorption of what you've heard. Of you becoming. He knows as you feed on this word, you become the word. Hallelujah. This is why he fights you, children. That's why you need to press to come to the house of God. And don't just press to come, but press after you get here. To absorb what's being preached. Hallelujah. So the north wind can turn after the trial of the south wind has hit your life. And they can blow over into the presence of the King. And you sit at the table. Oh my, think of it. Today, March the 7th, we set up our clocks. It won't be just a few more days. Did y'all like this nice weather I brought you from Arizona?
Yes.
This week going to be up in the 50s and the 60s. And
We know we'll have little cold spells and maybe another little thing at the end of March and blackberry winter and all the rest of them winters, whatever they call them all. All that'll come, but you know what? Eventually, these mountains will burst forward with beautiful blooms and the leaves will follow them. It'll be summer again. I said, it'll be summer again. Oh, man, and the harsh memory of this winter, not be able to have church and be cooped up in your house. And I know it's wrong, but you got the cabin fever look in your eyes tonight. Oh, my, you've been put up, but it won't be long. You know what? The memories will be gone. Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine when we're changed, when the sweep comes over us? And the memories of these battles and the memories of the things we've gone through, they'll be gone. And we'll walk down the streets of gold. Hallelujah. With the saints of God. It'll be worth everything you go through, children, to be molded and shaped to the image of the Lord Jesus. With all your struggling, with all your getting, get this. Get knowledge. Get understanding. The Greek words, the Hebrew, it's all wonderful. But get this.
Amen.
Let charity flow in your life. For without this, you will not make the rapture.
That's true.
Remember when Brother Branham was carried beyond that dimension when he saw his wife and his little girl?
Yes, sir.
And he said, this is what you preached. Yes, was perfect love. Amen. When he went beyond the curtain of time, all them people come running to him. They said, if I've died and went on, I want to see Jesus. He said, you can't see him now. He's a little bit higher. He said, this is what you preach is perfect love. He said, one day he'll come to you and judge you first. You mean ever, ever leader has to be judged? He said, yes. So Paul, he said, yes. He said, well, if Paul's group goes in, so will mine. And me and Happy Valley and people all over the world screamed out, where I stood on that? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Jesus says, whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Oh my, charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Charity does not want to believe ill against its brother. Charity believeth all things. It hopeth all things. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. Knowledge puffs up a building. Charity builds up the building in love. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray. Help us, Lord. If we'd all be honest tonight, Father, we'd have to say that our patience has been tried. A puffed up attitude about this, that, the other. The vaunting attitude. The envying. Help us, Lord Jesus. If we could only realize your prophet said even our experiences are predestinated to us. Help us to understand, Father, you place us, you gift us accordingly. The more gifted a person is, the more they need the outflow of charity in their life. Because the more gifts they have without charity, the more arrogant they will become. And the more they will tend to look down on others. It's amazing, Lord, the moves that have been around the message. This is the reason why we keep having eighth-day messengers appear, Lord, we know. It's because so many of the preachers in the message lack charity.
So one H-day messenger will come and start his move, and it'll go for years and distort, twist, split churches, cause all kinds of problems. In time, it'll run the course of all the rest of them. That man will either die or that move will fade off. And it makes a vacancy. And then another man will raise up and he'll think he's the eighth-day guy. Then hills will run the same way, and then another one. We got another now in the making. Why would anybody even want to assume that position? All they got to do is look at the recorded history and see they always wind up in the same path. To exalt ourselves above our brothers. To act like we're the only one and we're the premier preacher. We're superior to all churches. Father, can't we say that's of the spirit of the devil? That's not charity. Charity doesn't exalt itself, vaunt itself, puff itself up, make itself arrogant and proud. Charity humbles itself. Charity sees the need of the smallest brother, the smallest sister. Oh, Jesus, flow out of my life, Lord. Help me never to be arrogant, puffed up. I know, Lord, it's amazing to me. Most of the arrogant people I know don't think they're arrogant. That's what makes it so difficult. They become so arrogant and so proud. It's as if though everybody else around them can see it except for them. How devastating. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. And many would like to be remembered. Not by me tonight, but by God. That God will keep you humble, small, little. Hallelujah. That you'll not envy. That you'll not vaunt yourself or puff yourself up. Hallelujah. That you from your heart can rejoice to see someone promoted, even if you were looked over. Heavenly Father, we raise our hands and I stand here among them tonight, Lord. I have not stood here and preached this as one who has attained to all these attributes in their fullness. I stand here tonight as a Christian still in the making. A Christian still in the manufacturing state. Oh Lord God, hallelujah. 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 Great Adonai, I'm not ashamed to say tonight, you're still working on me. Oh Lord, I'm not ashamed to say, I need more of these great attributes in my life. That I can get out of the way that you could live through me, Lord. You can make me more kind. Not envious at all of anyone, no matter who they are, what they've got. I won't vaunt myself, nor puff up. Oh, Jesus, help me. I realize if I ever do, I'm on my way out. Any of us, and most people when they get that way, no one can talk to them. They can't be corrected. They become arrogant, proud. Lord Jesus, please help me that I never come to that place. Help me that I can always be corrected by the Word of God. Help me, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. I bless your name. I worship you. Oh, come, north wind. Blow upon the spices of my life. Lord Jesus, I believe and know that there's enough of this spice. Though it is rare. Though it is exotic. Though it is so precious. I believe there's enough in the hearts of these believers here tonight to be able to let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow through this place. blow into your presence a sweet smelling savor. We confess we are a people in the working. We are a people that needs more. But we will also confess what you have already done and what you are currently doing. For us to deny it is not there. It's to deny what you have done. We thank you it is here. But we crave and desire and hunger more for it, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name. Raise your branches, your hands, your arms. Raise your branches, trees of the Lord, in the presence of the King. Let the north wind come. Let him saturate our souls. Let him blow upon us. Hallelujah. Sing it for us, Harry. Let's worship him a little bit now, children. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Saturate my soul.
Let's worship him, children.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Saturate
my soul.
Let the river flow.
Your river flow.
Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Sing it, children.
Saturate my soul.
Oh, my soul.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Awake, north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices may blow out. Saturate my soul. Let your river flow. North wind blow, lover of my soul.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Saturate my soul.
Oh, Jesus.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. My beloved's full.
Hallelujah.
And he said unto me,
oh, yes.
Rise up, my fair one, come away with me. Saturate my soul, let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, saturate
you, Jesus.
My soul. For behold, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth again, the time of singing is come. Saturate my soul, let your river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Saturate my soul.
Oh, saturate me, Jesus.
Let the river flow.
Hallelujah.
Let the north wind blow.
Saturate my soul. Let your river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. For my beloved spoke and said, the time of your change is near. The time of the judgment is at hand. But you will escape that judgment. For you are hidden in the heart of your beloved. The wrath shall come. Sudden destruction shall move upon them. But I will sweep you into my paradise of love before the judgment shall arise upon the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Because you are worthy, oh no. Because you are in Him. Your beloved will not allow you to go through such a time. We're not ordained to be sown in the ground as the first church age was. We are ordained not for the plow, but for the combine. Hallelujah. 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 We are ordained for the barns of the harvest, not for the dark ages of the denomination to tread upon us. We are ordained for the chains. We will defy death. Glory be to God. We will defy death because we are in the arms of our beloved. Blessed be the Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My beloved spoke and said, your name is engraved on the palms of my hands. I saw you and loved you before the world ever began. You were part of my thinking. You were one of my attributes in eternity before I expressed it in time. It is beyond your thinking, but it is in the sublime. Before there was stardust, before there was a moon, you were in my seeing, and I loved you. My beloved spoke. And he said unto me, fear not, for I have your name, and I've removed the spots from your garments, and you will walk with me in white, for you are worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. And what's the bride answer back to him? Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we rejoice in your presence, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't you love to hear your beloved as he whispers through the gospel, as he whispers through songs? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. There is none like you, Lord. Let people form their gods. Let them raise up their religions. Let them try to exalt their self above your throne. But you are the only God, the only creator, and you will cast all of them down. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You said, is there any God beside me? I know not one.
Hallelujah. I'm the first and the last. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You told John, I am he that was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of hell. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is you we are waiting for. Hallelujah. It is you, Lord, that our hope is in.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, can we just raise our hands once more before we go in the presence of the great King? Wouldn't it be an honor for us tonight if President Obama from his stop from down in Selma, Alabama would stop in here and walk here in the back? It don't matter the difference how much you disagree with him and his interpretation of the Constitution or whatever more. It'd be an honor for the President to stop by. What about the governor of Tennessee? What about one of the senators? Whoever. An important person. Let me tell you something. The greatest person that ever was or ever will be has graced us here tonight in this building with his presence. How we ought to honor him. My, the Johnson City Press, Elizabeth and Star, boy, they'd put our picture in the paper in our church name. President Obama visited Happy Valley Church, or the governor so-and-so come through, Senator so-and-so. You know what? Jehovah God passed right through here tonight. Johnson City Press won't mention it tomorrow. Elizabeth and Star will never say nothing about it, but we ought to say it. We ought to say it. The great King was in our midst. The great King passed our way tonight. The great King come through and spoke to us and visited us. Did you welcome him? Did you treat him like a king ought to be treated? Did you adore him? Did you worship him? Did you have time for him? Or did you have your busy schedule on your mind and what you're going to do tomorrow? Oh, my friends, we ought to treat him for the honor that he deserves. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Praise be to God. Oh, Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. We magnify your name. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. Oh, bless your name, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I lift my hands into your presence, Lord. I worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. We worship you and you alone tonight, dear God. Amen. You are our Savior. You are our healer. You are our King. You are our bridegroom. You are our husband. You are our everything. We magnify you tonight, Lord. Praise be to God. There is none like you, Lord. We worship you. O Prince of Peace, mighty God, there is none like you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing this tune just before we go. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Prince of Peace, Almighty God. Lord Jesus, sing it here. Do you feel that way about him? There is none like you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I worship you, lily of the valley, bright in the morning star.
Prince of Peace.
Why now? Why?
That is what
I want to do it. I want to do it. Why do you raise your hands? I want to. What are you saying? I want to.
I give you praise, for you are my righteousness.
Hallelujah.
I worship you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My wife, my job, my car, my house, there is none like you. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God.
Come back in the morning. Let's expect the Lord to speak to us again. Were you blessed to be in the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing it as we go. I worship you, Almighty. Oh.
There is none like you. I worship you, oh Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise for my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. Fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy. Holy, we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. He is the Lamb. We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, greatness of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.